So you get like a little picture of what's happening. As we mentioned in Sunday school, Turkey has become very unstable the last year. And it's a lot of opportunities with the Turkish Muslim community has decreased. But we're seeing that the doors are open and many refugees are really receptive to the gospel. So I know there's a lot of debate going on about immigration and all this, and it is a problem. It really is. But over there right now, it's actually an opportunity. We're seeing many refugees come to know Christ the Savior. And especially, predominantly, the Iranians. They say Persians in the film, but that's Afghans that speak Farsi, and it's also Iranians that speak Farsi. So that particular group is where we're really focusing, and many are coming to know the Lord as Savior. Anyway, so if you'd be interested, we would love to have you pray for us. Our goal is to have 100 prayer partners, and you can see our mug shot in the back there if you'd like to take one. Put it on your refrigerator. You have a missionary refrigerator, you know, like some people do. Or anyway, pray for us on a regular basis. We'd be really thankful. And of course, we're asking Pastor to consider supporting us. And if that's something that the Lord would have, that would be great. We have some needs God is providing, but I know God wants us there, and we're going. We're going. Whether we have all our financial needs or not, we're planning on going back. Anyway, so I would like to share for a little bit, and then we're going to do a demonstration a little bit about this idea of least reached in a little bit. But I'd like you to start. Let's get into the Word of God. I'm going to be reading from a bunch of different verses in Philippians. So I guess you could start in around Philippians chapter 3. And well, let's pray. Let's have a short prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here. Pray that your word would be cast forth right now, Lord, and that people would be encouraged by it. Maybe someone would be come to know your Savior through that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I want to talk a little bit about God's presence. One of the big motivating factors for me, now I've been doing my quiet time lately has been out of the book of Philippians. So you're getting my quiet time. Sorry about that. But anyway, you know, we preach what we need. You know, well, this is what I need, so I'm going to give it to you, you know. Anyway, so I've been studying the book of Philippians, and it's just been very convicting. And I just want to talk a little bit about God's presence. Let me give you a little background. I'm not a historian, or I'm not really a theologian either, but I read a little bit about this book of Philippians. It was written by Paul to this church that he helped plant. He planted this church on his second missionary journey. And I might not have all the details, but the people that I read said that this was a real exciting place for him. You know, if you go back to Acts chapter 16, you'll see stories about the lady merchant who came to know the Lord and the Philippian jailer and all these different people that came to know Christ. So Paul was really excited about this group. And this group grew into a church. And they supported Paul in prayer, and they supported him financially. And they were just really, really close to his heart. So now that was about, they say, about 49 A.D. Do we use A.D., B.C. anymore? We changed that, right? Anyway, it was about 49, the year of the Lord, I guess. And this book he wrote 10 years later, 10 or 11 years later, from Rome. Paul is now in jail, and he's writing to this church to encourage them. And he's, in Paul's thinking, I caught this two or three times, he's thinking he's getting out of jail. You know, Paul was like anticipating getting out of jail and going back to visit these churches. So when you read his book, it's like, wow, he never got out of jail. You know, he ended up dying in Rome. But he encourages the church to continue doing the work that they're doing and not to get discouraged. He wrote them to thank them for their support in prayer. He wrote them to thank them for their support financially because they gave to him. And he also wrote to comfort them. That church was grieved by Paul's situation. They were really hurting about him being in jail. Imagine if your pastor got arrested and thrown in jail and you're back here carrying on you'd be very grieved for him. And he writes them to say, look, I'm fine, you know. For me to live is Christ, but what? To die is gain. You know, he writes them all these cool little messages that, like, I'm fine, you know, and I want to encourage you to keep on. So he encourages them about his situation, but then he also encourages them to some four big areas that I thought were really important. Number one was unity. You know, unity. Wow, is that big, right? You know, in our church in Mojde, the Iranians are very loving, warm, kind people, but, you know, when they have a problem, wow, it's like an explosion, you know? The last week we were there, not the last week, the second to last week we were there, they asked me to speak, right? So we were teaching an English class, and they asked me to share from the Bible with this group. So during my English class, everything went fine, you know? It was a good group, and we were having fun, and we were learning lots of English and having lots of fun with everybody. And then in between the English class and the sermon I was going to give, they had a meal, right? And one of the ladies made, what was it, Carol, like pasta, right? Like it was almost like an Italian dinner, right? So they're serving the food and all the guys, you know, us guys, we love a free meal, right? We're dogging the food. We don't care. Free meal, right? And we are loving it. And one of the ladies says to another lady, oh, I don't like this pasta. This is nasty, you know? Wow. Next thing you know, the people are yelling and there's fights going on and we're trying to break up these ladies from fighting each other. I'm like, what happened, you know? And so from English class, where I had a big full house, to my preaching, it went from like 40 people down to how many? 3, 4, you know? I said, well, that's how you clear the house, you know, anyway. And they're so emotional, you know, they're so emotional. They love God with all their heart, but boy, they're very fragile, you know. They've been through drama, and I'm sure there's PTSD, you know. There's all kinds of emotional problems, and they're very sensitive. They really are. So unity, you know, unity. Then to get them all back together. Right now, over the summer, we've actually seen kind of a revival there at the church as they make up and they reunite. And so, but unity is huge, right? You've never had any problems here, right? Anyway, never mind. Anyway. But unity is big. The next thing is joy. You know, joy. That's a biggie, right? You know, if you're not happy, I mean, if you're not rejoicing, boy, something's really wrong. You know, so he encourages them to joy. And then the third thing, not the fourth thing. The third thing is sound doctrine, sound teaching. You see words like stand fast and beware and false teachers, and you see a lot. Well, anyway, let's look at a few verses. So I'm just going to share my quiet time. And I want to talk a little bit about God's presence, because I really wouldn't, if I didn't know God was with me or with us, I couldn't do this, you know? If I, to do this or to go to Turkey or to do anything without the Lord's presence, it just would be futile and empty. A question, all right? How do we know God is present with us? Now, this is a question you can try to answer. How do we know God is present with us? How do we know that? Any volunteers out there? My wife said, what did you say? I asked her.
I sense his presence as you answered prayer.
All right, so you've had lots of prayers answered. Good. So that's a way we can sense God's presence through answered prayer. How else? Say that again. Okay, you know his character, who he is, that you think, yeah, he's not going to, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, his character. One more. Any other volunteers out there? Yes. Okay, what word did you use? Feeling? Did you say the word feeling? Yeah, that's a dangerous word, right? I like that word. I wrote that down. I wrote down, feel it, because, you know, there's times when we really sense God's presence. You have to be careful there because you can build a doctrine around that, you know, and you get into this emotionalism, which I don't want to go there, but I'll tell you one little story, okay? And this might get me thrown out already, but when I first trusted Christ, the Savior, I was a brand new Christian, and I really didn't know anything about God or the Bible, but I just started going to church, and I was helping my brother do a roof. You ever do a roof, you know? And it was a roof about this high. It was pretty high, and we had these long extension ladders going up. And on these extension ladders, they put a plank on the outside of the ladder. So when you went up the ladder, when you got to where the plank was right in front of your face. You had to kind of go over it, you know? It's kind of an odd scap. They call it scaffolding, staging. So I'm going up with a bundle of shingles, you know? And they're pretty heavy. They weigh about like 75 pounds. So I'm going up, and I get to that plank, and I'm like, how am I going to get from here to there? You know, the plank is right over my head. So I reached up over the plank, and I grabbed the ladder, and I started to pull myself up. And as I got up there, I started to feel myself falling, you know? I was like, oh, I'm going to fall. So I had a choice. What's my choices? Fall or drop the shingles, right? And so I was going to just drop the shingles. And I just, all of a sudden, I just felt like a boost. I just felt like somebody just pushed me from the backside, just pushed me up. And I'm like, what happened? You know, was it adrenaline? You know, was it a hyper reaction? And I always believe, now this is Garyism, so don't take it too serious, but I always believe the Lord gave me a little hug, you know, and just kind of showed me that He's real. So I can't tell you, I have 100 of those. I only have maybe one or two of those kind of stories, but I really sense God's presence at times, you know, and I think it's important that we don't forget that God is with us. He's present. So that's on my list, that's number three. Number two is see it. And guess where I see it? Right now. I see it right now, you know. I see it right here, the local church. You see the local church all over. You know, when you go to Turkey, you know, it's a very Muslim country, but every now and then you'll run into a building that kind of looks like a church, and you'll see a little cross up there, you know. And you see God's presence. God is there. You know, I know Turkey is a tough country. Right now it's a very unstable. There's all kinds of problems with politics, Kurds, the ISIS is there. You know, they got a lot of drama going on there. But you still see God. You know, you see Him working with the English community, the Persians. You see Him working even with Turks. And the pastor that I've gotten to be friends with, his name is Attila. He calls himself Attila the Hun. But he's a Turkish pastor. And he loves the Lord, and they're out there once a month, every Saturday, they're out giving out Bibles, you know. They're out there on the streets, and they put their life on the line to see the Word of God go forth. But anyway, you see it, you know, you see it. And of course, the third thing, and I think this is really number one, is where do we know? Right here, you know. He tells us, I am with you, I am with you, you know, wherever you go. I will never leave and never forsake you. So we have His Word as a guarantee of His presence. And I think that's really where our foundation is, because you can't build a doctrine around feelings, and you can't build a doctrine around seeing, but you can, right here, His Word is real, it's true, and we can depend on it. So we know God's presence. And just a few verses, to me, that are really, really, really special. I'll just read a few. Start in Philippians chapter 2. Verses 9. I'll read a few verses for a few minutes here. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 12. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him, Jesus, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God Father. Wow, great verse, right? You know, it's amazing. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. This has been one of my favorite verses with young people. We had the young people memorize this verse in some of our clubs. Anyway, 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And what is that? Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's one of been one of my favorites over the years. Or Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6. When things aren't going all that great, right? You know, when you're not sleeping well, or when you're a little upset, right? You know, let's go back. 4 or 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So some pretty amazing stuff, right? 4:13, you know that one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Philippians is a great book. It really is, and it's full of encouragement. So God's presence in these verses, you'll see some things like this. It motivates us. 4:9b. Let me go back. Philippians 4:9, the second part of the verse, it says, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, it motivates me. God is with me. His presence is with us. And that encourages me to do anything he directs me to do. So God is with us. Go back to 4:6. Be careful for nothing or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. It comforts us. You know, when things get difficult or when we have challenges, God's presence comforts us and gives us hope. Go back again, Philippians 3:20. Am I going too fast? You tell me. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. You know, he gives us hope. He gives us expectation. We know we have a home in heaven, you know. So if I leave this earth, if I'm in Turkey or wherever, if we die, I know I'm going, you know. I don't have to fret it. I don't have to worry about it. I mean, I don't like the process of dying. I don't think we're all too excited about that. But I'm not afraid to go there. You know, I'm not afraid to leave this earth. God is our expectation. He's our hope, and he's our comfort. So he gives us a great expectation, you know. Last night we went to a concert. What kind of concert was it? It was like a camp, Christian camp, right? Second Dog. You ever heard of Second Dog and Bible Conference? Anyway. And it was kind of a bluegrass something. I don't know. Christian Southern Gospel kind of music anyway. But they sang a ton about heaven, you know. They always sing about heaven and going to heaven. And I was like, wow, this family really believes it. You could tell this family was singing about heaven. They had recently lost a child. And I'm thinking how difficult it is to lose a child. But they weren't grieving. You know, they weren't like broken. They were just encouraged by God that they will see him again, that the child that they lost. So God's word gives us hope. And God's presence gives us that expectation that we'll be with him again. Philippians 3:9, I like this one. God's presence gives us righteousness. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's a biggie, isn't it? Wow, you know. What's your background? Are you coming out of a certain denomination or a certain religion? And I'm not here to offend anybody, okay? I hope I don't offend anybody. We're Catholic background, you know. And my wife and I, she was more of a regular. She went to church now and then. I didn't. But when she started talking to me about Jesus and telling me that I needed to be born again, I was like, that's weird. You know, that's kind of weird stuff. What are you talking about, you know? So as a Catholic background, I went to see my local priest, you know. And I said to him, you know, I want you to read something. And I read him John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I took him to John 3:3? I think it was. Where it said, you must be born again. I said, what does that mean, you know, to the priest? And this is him, and I'm not blaming the whole church for this, okay? He looked at me, and he closes the book, and it's just a bunch of words. He said, that's a bunch of words. I said, what do you mean by that? What do you mean that's a bunch of words? He goes, you know, he just blew me off as if you're worrying about nothing, you know? And it really slapped me, kind of. You know, I was like, what is going on here, you know? And I believe God used that to challenge me that, wait a minute, is this just a bunch of words, you know? You know, you talk to people about the Bible, in your community, you know, like, oh, the Bible, I don't believe the Bible, you know, or, oh, it's just a bunch of words. Is it? You know? And it's not. We know this is not just a bunch of words. We know this is God's word. And it's a living word, you know. And that word can give us righteousness. Wow. So I can have the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't have to be trying to earn my way to heaven. You know, I always thought, you know, you've heard it, like good boys go to heaven. Or where do bad boys go? The other place, right? And that's kind of how we were taught. And I, as a teenager, I rejected that. I thought, that's nonsense, you know. And so I kind of walked away from religion, really. I thought, there's no God, you know. There's no God. It's all a bunch of nonsense. But later on, you know, God works. And he works in your heart, and he works through circumstances. And then you start digging in this word, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, you know, God does love me, you know. And he sent Christ to die for me. And that by faith, I can have him as my Savior. So Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, whosoever what calls upon the name of the Lord, you know, if you believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. So, you know, and again, I don't mean to pick on anybody. You know, the Turkish Muslims are a lot like that in a sense. They're very works oriented. You know, we had a neighbor, a Turkish neighbor. They gave us these tickets to go to a Turkish concert. And it was a beautiful concert. It was very classical. It was really nice. So my wife wanted to thank our neighbor for giving us these tickets. So she made her a batch of cookies, right? And chocolate chip or something? I forgot. Anyway, she gave her a batch of cookies. Well, not to be outdone, our Muslim neighbor, she thanked us for the cookies, sat us down, went into the kitchen, and prepared for us a meal right there. She prepared this huge meal. She was not going to be outgave by a Christian, you know? But it was a beautiful meal, and we made a good friendship with them. And we actually gave her a Jesus, the Jesus film as another thank you. Anyway, but, you know, to the Muslim mind, you know, good works, you know, good deeds. And so you'll find the Turkish Muslims are very kind. They're very helpful, you know. Don't mess with the ISIS crowd. That's a different crowd. But they are very generally very kind because they believe that, you know, if they do enough good deeds and good works, they can go to heaven. But anyway, so God's presence encourages us, and I put down enables us. The first thing, I'll just go through these quickly because I want to save a few minutes for the end here. But God's presence enables our practice. And what I mean by that is what we do. His presence empowers what we do. I put down the word embolden. Is that a word, embolden? Is that a good word? I don't know. Gives us boldness? Anyway, in Ephesians, Philippians, you'll see different words similar to that, where it gives us boldness, you know. Some of the words in Philippians 4 are the word like steadfast, don't quit, carry on, you know. It emboldens us. And it's kind of an interesting term. We were at the Fonda Fair the other day. Fonda Fair. It's kind of one of these country fairs. And we were giving out Bibles. The Gideons have Bibles that they give out. So we were giving out some Bibles. And I ran into a pastor, you know. And his name is Pastor Al. And Pastor Al, he was one of those kids that came onto a Sunday school bus. He came to church. And then he became a teenager. And he went off and did not live for the Lord. He went pretty wild for a few years. But then after he came to know the Lord again, he rededicated his life to the Lord, or he got saved. He said he's not really sure whether he was saved or not as a child. But anyway, so we went to see him at this fair. He had a little tent set up, and we were talking to him. And he tells this story about us, you know. And it's kind of an interesting story. He says, oh, that Gary and Carol, they used to knock on my door every Saturday and invite us to come on the bus. And he exaggerates a tad, but he said, they never gave up on me. He said, Gary and Carol never gave up on me, you know. And I laugh. I said, wow, we gave up on you a lot of times, but he was a wild kid. But anyway, you know, God gives you that boldness, you know, to do things like that. God gives you that steadfastness not to give up on people or not to give up on situations, you know. God gives us that. Anyway, God gives us direction. Philippians 4:1 talks a little bit about that. Therefore, my brethren, and long for my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Don't, you know, don't give up. Don't stop. God's going to give you directions and give you purpose and give you plans. I won't go there, but Philippians 3 through 9 talks about confidence. God gives us confidence that what we do in His name will bring forth fruit. In Philippians 2:17, and I won't go there, he talks a lot about joy, you know. He talks about rejoicing in the Lord and being constantly thankful for the God that gives you that joy. And think about joy, right, for a second. What are things that steal your joy, you know? What steals your, here's a question for you, okay. What are the things that take your joy away, you know? Maybe like, your husband, your wife, anyway, people, all right, people, you know. Sometimes Christians, too, they don't mean to, but they'll steal your joy, they'll complain or something. But people can steal your joy. What else can steal your joy? Stress, like circumstances, right? Worries can steal your joy. Things. The more things I have, the more things I got to worry about, you know, the more things I got to take care of. And they can steal your joy. I'm a pessimist by nature, pessimistic, you know. And my wife is the optimist, you know. So when I see things, I have this critical eye, you know. And I have to kind of like, no, don't be negative. Don't be critical, you know. So you have to stop that. That steals your joy. I start criticizing the littlest thing instead of seeing the blessing that God has given. And that can really steal your joy. Anyway, so there's many joy stealers, but the Lord says rejoice. Rejoice always. And it helps us serve in our local fellowship, His presence, you know. Why do you serve in your local church? Because you have to? Because pastor asks you? Because it's required of membership? I don't know, anyway. But it's because the Lord is with you. The Lord's presence encourages you to serve. And it also helps us to think clearly. Maybe we should look at that. When you know these verses, in chapter 4, verses 8, 9, 10. Philippians 4, 8, 9, 10. So finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. If there be any, skip down. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, you know. So God's presence encourages us to think right, to act right, you know. And I looked at those verses, and I'm like, there's only one person that's really lovely and pure. Who is that? Jesus, right? Jesus, God, you know. He's the one we think about. We think about the Lord, and He's the lovely. He's the good report. He's praiseworthy, you know. He's the one we can really think about. And we mentioned that clear thinking helps us to be moderate. You know, moderate, not crazy. And, of course, we mentioned talking about anxiety or anxiousness or worry or fear. But God's presence gives us freedom. You know, freedom from guilt, freedom from mistakes. You know, how many make mistakes? You know, of course, we all make mistakes, right? You know, the Lord doesn't want us to dwell on our mistakes. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, press on, you know. Don't make the same mistakes 20 times, you know. Try to correct it. But the Lord wants us to have freedom from fear and anxiety and worry. And the word here you'll see mentioned many times is the word peace. He wants us to have His presence, His peace. Well, let me button it up here. I'll stop. If you finally get to the end of the Philippians, and Paul writes to this church, and he thanks them. He thanks them for their support, finances. He thanks them for their prayers. And he says, you know, there's one thing I want for you. And look at verse number 17, Philippians 4:17, and I'll close with this. Paul says to this church, he goes, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul, the great missionary, right? He's a missionary, right? And he's speaking to this church, which is a missionary plant. You know, it's a CP church plant. And he's encouraging them to do all these things, to reach out, you know, to reach, share the gospel, to be bold, to be confident. And you can see where he's fulfilling the Great Commission through this church. He's in jail, you know. He's out of commission, so to speak. And his ministry is limited. But he encourages his church to stand fast, keep on, share the gospel. And he's encouraging them to bring up people to praise. So you kind of see this, I don't know, this kind of a threefold kind of a work. You see God's working, right, through the local church, through the universal church, and through people, you know. So God's working through a person, but he's also working through the big group. So he has plans. Paul has plans for this church. He says, I want you to be thankful, you know. I want you to be thankful for all God has done. And I want you to be a sharing church, a bold church, and share that message with those who are out in the world. And he wants fruit on their account. So when you say fruit, what do you think of? Paul wants them to have fruit. So if I said to you, I want you to be a fruitful church, what would you think of? Okay. Maybe people coming to know Christ, right? Maybe believers encouraged. What else? Fruit. What do you think of? What's the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace. He wants you to be full of love and joy and peace and patient and gentle. So Paul is desiring of this church to have fruit and to see people come to know the Lord as Savior. So what does the church do? Well, the church goes out into the community, you know, and shares the gospel. You invite people to the church. It also sends. It sends people like me out to do their job, you know. Again, there's that threefold ministry. God working through you, through me, or through others, you know. And so if I happen to have an opportunity to lead someone to Christ, you've done that. You follow me? You're part of that. And if you have an opportunity to do something positive, I'm a part of that, you know. So in a strange way, we share in the fruit of the ministry that God gives us. Well, anyway, let's stop and let's pray. And then Carol and I are going to try to demonstrate something quickly. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share from the Word of God, and pray that this church would be encouraged because of their giving, their thankfulness, their support, their passion. You know, they're a growing church, and they're a fruitful church, Lord. So I pray that you would continue to use them in this community. And I also pray for each one individually. You know, each one is a representative of that church. And as they go into this community and share their faith, Lord, that they'd be blessed, they'd be encouraged, they'd see people come to know you as Savior. And as they send others like me or others, other people that they support, that that would encourage them as well to stand fast and keep doing what they're doing and not to grow weary in well-doing. And for anyone here, Lord, we don't know everyone here. I don't know where they are, but I was a young man of 27 when I really understood that nothing I could do to get to heaven on my own. I couldn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But that you went to the cross for me. You died for me individually, and that I needed to believe that. I needed to trust that with all my heart. It wasn't just something flippant or casual. It was really important that I believed that, Lord, and I really committed to that. So I'm so thankful that you were patient and you opened my eyes. And I pray for some here that maybe never have done that. They've never really said, yes, Lord, I believe you died for me and I want you as my Savior. And that right now they would pray that in their heart. They just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. We've all done things wrong, but right now, the best way I know how, I ask you to be my Savior. And if you pray a prayer like that, the Bible, God's Word says that, you know, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, in sincerity, if you call upon that, you will be saved. So again, thank you for this people, and thank you for this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, before you leave, if you prayed and asked the Lord to be your Savior, I would ask you, just come and see me. Come and say, hey, Gary. And between you and me, I ask the Lord to be my Savior. I would love to hear that and pray with you, okay? All right, Carol, come on, help me out here a little bit.
We're gonna need a little help, right? We're gonna need a little help.
First, to say, we want to involve you in the world's population. Do you know that there's 7.3 billion people living here? And what I'd like to do is I would like to tell you who are these people, where do they live, And what is their relationship with Jesus Christ? But I need help. I cannot do this alone. I need 11 people to help me.
11 volunteers.
Come on.
Don't be shy or come to grab you.
We love people. See, we stand right up here. One, we can walk a bit. Stare at me. And I'm going to divide you a little bit. So
you have to
go right there. You go that way a little bit.
Five, three, four,
and five. We're going to put a little space in there. Okay.
Yeah, how many are there?
Five of them. Okay.
This is the world.
This is the world. Right. These six are reached people.
Maybe explain that a little bit more.
Reached people. Okay, when I say reach, I'm saying that they have access to the Word of God, to church. They can turn on the radio and hear the Bible. Country music.
I'm talking about countries.
Yeah, that's well, each one. That's why when you say reach, they have access to the Bible, and they have, you know, are able to hear about Jesus. The unreached is completely different. They don't have that access. But let me start introducing. Okay, first of the reach is would be Maggie the Christian.
Oh, this is Maggie.
Maggie the Christian. Okay, Maggie knows the Lord, and she's asked Christ to be her Savior. She comes to church. She encourages other believers. She shares her faith. That's Maggie. Now, when you talk about 7.3, that's like 2/3. Each one represents about
700,000 people. 700 million.
Yes. Okay.
700 million. Yes.
Okay. Now the next two are nominal Christians.
You want to be a nominal? You're a nominal. You're a Christian.
Nominal Christian.
What's nominal Christian?
No, nominal Christian may go to church maybe Christmas, Easter, but they have some relationship in our church, but they don't know Christ as their Savior. They never really heard a really clear presentation, and they haven't asked Christ as their Savior. That's nominal Christian. Now we have the ones that are in darkness, spiritual darkness.
It's the shady gang, right?
Yeah, they're all kind of shady.
Yeah, kind of shady. I don't know.
They know that they've never asked Christ as their Savior. They don't claim that asked Christ as their Savior. They may have parents that are Christians. They may work with someone that's a Christian. But they don't want anything to do with Christianity. This group, you could say predominantly, might be in the United States, South America, Australia, parts of Europe would be very populated in this type. And we can implement in all the world, mainly. Now we're going to go to the unreached. And the first one is the atheist.
We got this in China.
We work in China.
That's your bread. Here's the bread.
Yeah, bread China. In China, the government teaches them that there is no God. And to think there's a God and to believe in Christianity or anything like that is stupid. We worked in school. Remember in the morning they would get up and they would line up 7 o'clock in the morning and say, "We are Chinese."
We love China.
It was all the country, but there's no God. And the next one is
my favorite.
Muslim.
There's two Muslims here. This is about 1.5 billion or so.
Yes.
You're a Muslim girl.
Now they believe in God. They people believe in God, but they believe in their God, Allah. And Muhammad is his prophet.
Yeah, cover your head. How do you get that?
Yeah,
how do you get that? Oh, a good Muslim man, you got to cover your head too.
No, it's a Muslim man.
I'll give you the traditional. He gets the sparkles. He's pretty tall, I know. I don't know if I can do him. More or less, yeah. Less than more.
And the next one is the Hindus. Now I have to have your. Did you see
my little dot.
Really?
Oh, it's in the box.
Oh, it's in the box.
In the box.
I have a dot.
No dots.
And there's millions, and they believe there's millions of God, millions of gods. And they believe in reincarnation. If you're good, you'll become a priest. If you're bad, you stop. You can turn into a rat or a dog. That's
good.
Now the last, this one is Buddhist.
Buddhist and?
Yeah, Buddhist.
You're actually going to be two groups because
of
population. We're going to go by population. Orange.
Yeah, the monks wear orange.
And also,
they just believe in good works. And they believe that they do good works to get to that stage of nirvana, blissfulness. That's their beliefs. Also for tribal people, it's also
this is our little tribal. This is our little tribal. I'm not people
coming here. Yeah, tribal work. And they believe in spirits and evil spirits, and they do a lot of works trying. So that is the world. Now, what do we need? We have all these people. What do we need to reach all those people? Right, that's who we're going to reach.
Yeah. And Jesus wants to use.
What do we need? Word of God, but we need missionaries. We need missionaries to go out into all these countries and to try to reach. But I need missionaries, which means I need 10 more volunteers.
Oh, 10 more.
10 more. 10 more. 10
more.
10 more.
10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more.
10 more. 10 more.
10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10
more. 10 more. 10 more. 10
more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more.
10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10
more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more.
10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more.
10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10
more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more.
10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10
more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10
more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10
more. 10 more. 10 more. 10
more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more.
good.
Okay, what do you think, Mr. Ellis?
Not bad.
You really,
pretty balanced screw, right?
Yeah.
They're all over the place, right? Now, for just a second, I want you to see reality. What do you think the reality of what's really, really happening today in missions? What's happening?
All right, show them.
All right, cool. I'm up. You go over there. All the missionaries, I want you to go over there, except for one. You stay. All the missionaries go over there, except for you. In reality, right now, 90% of the workers are working in the Greek communities around the world. And 10% are here. And that, dollar-wise, 99 cents out of a dollar go to this group, and 1 cent go to this group. Now, there's nothing wrong with this picture. So this is the way it is, you know. And I'm thankful for every missionary that's there, and I'm thankful for every missionary that's here. And this is a tough group. Let me tell you something. It's a very high-risk, very difficult group. But the point of the demonstration is to show what we think the point is. Say this is right or wrong. No. Right. To show the need, right. To show the great need. There's a great need here for workers, there's a great need for prayer support, for money, financial support. There's a great need here. And that's the whole point I want to make, that, you know, as you send for laborers, it doesn't necessarily mean this is wrong, this is great. It's just that there is an open door right now in this area. And thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you. We've all your goodies over here. Are we late yet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's our clock. You can't see the clock. Thank you. All right. We want to be early for change, right? So we're going to stop right now. But thank you for having us. Thank you for allowing us to share. And we'll be in the back. Again, if you're interested in our little newsletter, we'll have this in the back there too. Just your name and email, okay? Let's pray. Right? With Mr. Jim. Oh, we'll pray and then sing, right? We're singing prayer. How about we sing and then we pray, right? Let's open to 308. I should make you say I can sing.